Our reading is from 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 to 15. The point is this. The one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry is not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Through the testing of the ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ, and by the generosity of your sharing with them and with all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God that he has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Susie. For anyone that doesn't know me, I'm Alison. I'm still a relatively new face around here at St Mary's. So I came in September and I'm studying for ordination in the church. It's great to be with you this morning. So let's just pray before we begin. Lord, please guide my words and open our hearts that we might grow closer to you. Amen. Amen. So some of you will have heard Andrew's talk last week. This is the second half of our short series on giving. If you haven't heard it, listen online. It's fantastic. This morning, we're going to be focusing on generosity, what that means for the choices we make and how we can be cheerful givers. And those two words might not seem to go together, but in God's kingdom, they do. So just a bit of context about the passage that Susie's just read to us. Paul was writing to the church in Corinth, and he was asking them if they would help to support the church in Jerusalem who were experiencing a famine. So he was asking them if they'd offer a bit of relief, but at the same time, he was also drawing out some of the foundational principles that Jesus has taught us that sit alongside being generous. So you can see in the passage that Paul starts off focused on this farming analogy, so sowing and reaping. So if we sow bountifully, if we put more in, we will also reap bountifully. So in that, we're trusting God that as we give, he will give back to us. He will bless us as we are generous. And it's not just that he will give us kind of just enough. It's an abundant blessing that he's offering us. So you can see the word says, God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. So he wants to give us enough that we can continue to be generous. So just in the same way that as the farmer sows, she harvests and she keeps some of that back to enable her to sow again in the future, to continue being generous. And knowing this kind of gives some indication as to why we might be cheerful as we give. And I had a really good example of this a few years ago in my own life. I was prompted to join the street pastors team in Brent. Some of you might know street pastors. They patrol the streets at night, supporting people who are around at that time, often people in difficulty, and just show the love of Christ. And I was really keen to be part of that team, but there was a cost to it. It was a few hundred pounds to pay for the uniform and the training, and I didn't have that money at the time. And someone else in the church, who I still don't know who that person was, gave the money to enable me to do that. And I continued to be in the team the whole time because of the generosity of that person. And I have, over the years, reported back through the vicar of the church to try and ensure that person knows that their generosity has continued to bear fruit over time and that there is a difference being made because of what they chose to do. So another aspect of why we might be cheerful in all of this is also stated by Paul in this letter. So he's saying that the generosity is not forced or under pressure. It's not under compulsion. There's no hand on our shoulder kind of forcing us to put our hand in our pocket. It's a decision that we make, something that we choose to do. We look at what we've got and we, guided by God, can make a decision as to how we use the resources that we have. That then raises the question as to why we're giving in the first place. So we're not being forced to, we're not under compulsion, no one's pushing us to do this. So what is it that's prompting us to be generous? So if we step back and think about all that God has done for us, so he's given his son to bear all of the mistakes that we've made, the decisions that we've made that don't align with what God would have wanted, things that perhaps we should have done and didn't do, God has sent his son to take that all on his shoulders to enable us to live in freedom. And when we see that, our response is likely to be one of thanksgiving and gratitude. And that may then lead us to think, well, what can we do in return? Given the generosity of God, how can we be generous with what we've got? We also know that everything we have is from God. There's nothing that we have that ultimately did not come from him. Whether that be things that we have, things that we possess and own, our gifts, our skills, our time. And he's calling us to use what we've got in his guiding to enable his kingdom to flourish. And the fact that we're leaning on him to guide us in how we do that demonstrates that he's in the driving seat of our lives, that he is showing us what we need to do with those things that we've got. Sometimes there is a temptation that we look at the things we have and we think, oh, isn't that fantastic what I've been able to achieve? Perhaps it could be, I don't know, a promotion at work, or it could be a lovely car that we've saved up to buy, and we think, oh, that is wonderful. And a little temptation that we've done that for ourselves, and we look at those things and they're a bit of a safety blanket, really, things that we can cling on to and think that we can rely on ourselves to have some power and control over our lives in a very uncertain world. And these things feel like they give us a bit of stability sometimes. And there's nothing wrong with any of those things. They're all good things. But when we hold on to them too tightly, we're excluding God from the picture because we're no longer able to be open and generous with those things. And we're also kind of assuming that we've done it for ourselves. We think we can achieve those things in our own strength rather than acknowledging that they've come from God. Today is Christ the King Sunday, and this is a really good opportunity for us to remember that Jesus is the King of our lives, that he is in control and in charge of everything that we've got. And if we're willing to offer ourselves to him, he will guide us. He has excellent plans for us, good things in our future. And if we trust in him, we will be able to use what we have in the best possible way. We might have to just prise our fingers off those things that we think, oh, I'm not sure that I would be willing to give that up if God asked me to. This is quite crunchy because it requires courage to lean on God. It's not always easy, especially when we have things that we do want to cling on to, perhaps bits of our identity, status, a role that we have that we would never want to let go of. But if we are willing, we can't outgive God. He always has more in abundance, as we heard earlier in the passage. Not a half-hearted, miserly offering, but an abundant generosity for us. And this isn't just about money. When we think about generosity, We often start to think about cash or finances. This is about how we use our time, our skills, our prayers. It could be our listening and attention. It could be that there's someone we know who could really do with a phone call just to say hello, or someone who looks a bit low that we just need to check in on. That is how God is asking us to be generous in all that we have, every single aspect of our lives. And maybe there are things that God's prompting you even now to think about. Things are arising in your mind that maybe you are clinging onto a bit too tightly, or there are opportunities that God is planting seeds. Maybe there's a team that you could join, an organisation you want to bless, or someone in your life that you could put your arm around and come alongside. That will be different for each one of us, because God knows us all uniquely. He knows the circumstances that we're in, what we have, what he's given us, and what he's calling us to do. So I'd love just to take a couple of minutes to pray, and let's just see what God says to us in this time. Father, thank you so much for all that you have blessed us with. We pray that you would just show us now where you're calling us to be generous. Give us a cheerful heart as we listen to you, and give us boldness as we step into the action you call us to. Amen.